Hey, welcome back to the Stormforce Fitness Show. I'm John Latoc, and first of all, an apology. I think it's been way too long since I did one of these shows. Like a lot of people, I've had a lot going on, various things, trying to navigate business and all sorts. Not really an excuse. I should have still got around to it, but ultimately, here we are today. And the reason I'm doing this podcast in particular is because I've spent a bit of time looking at who I'm coaching, what I'm trying to do for those people, the kind of people that are coming to me, and it became clear in my own mind that what I really want to be doing is working with more people who are already in good shape, already quite strong, going to the gym. You know, it's not a problem for them to get to the gym. They want to be there, they want to work hard, but they're lacking that knowledge to really start attacking bigger goals, whatever that may be to them. But what I mean by that is kind of beyond fat loss and getting your body to a place you want it to be in. Now, obviously that stuff is important. It's pretty much what I've built my life on. But what I'm starting to realize more and more, particularly since the pandemic has hit, people have let things slip, is that what we often term as a body transformation is really just getting people back to the start line that they should never have left. You know, it's, for me, it's not really some huge progression. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. If you're currently overweight, you're currently lacking energy, you're not sleeping, then all of that stuff is absolutely crucial. And that's why I wrote my book, The Secrets of Showing Up. It takes you from being in kind of whatever position you're in right now, I guess what we could term a negative position, and getting yourself back on track and then progressing from there. But like I said, for someone like me who's been in this industry for a very long time, there comes a point where you start to realize that there's more to it than that, and you want to see people really, really progress. And it is difficult in this day and age to get people beyond simply, it's hard to even get them to that start line. And what I mean by that start line is they just have a good level of energy. They sleep well, they're not stressed all the time. You know, they're actually kind of happy with their life and they can go and do the things they want to do. They're eating well because they don't have any sort of twisted relationships with food. You know, to me, that is just, that's just being human, you know. But unfortunately, because of this big picture, which I'm not going to go into today, we are, or a lot of people are very much in a place where even being there is very, very difficult. So it's not to knock that. I'm certainly willing to help people with that. But for me as a coach, for me to test my knowledge, for me to be inspired by what I'm doing every day, I've decided that I really want to find these people who, as I said, are, you know, going to the gym, eating well, getting to bed early, you know, not running their life based on what they see in the news. They're the people I want to take hold of and help progress to much, much bigger goals, whether that be running an ultra marathon, cycling across a country, even smaller goals than that, you know, doing your first half marathon, marathon, triathlon, maybe having a white collar boxing fight. You know, the list is endless, but ultimately working towards these kind of performance goals beyond just, you know, now I'm happy with my body. So today we're going to be talking about periodization. And this is something that sounds very scientific. It sounds very sort of pro athlete, and it is. However, there are ways to bring this into your own training that doesn't require any extra time. You know, we're not suddenly saying, okay, if you engage in periodization, you must be training twice a day, 6 days a week like an athlete. That's not what we're going to be saying at all. Actually, what we're saying is simply taking the effort that you're already making. Maybe you get to the gym 3-4 times a week, or you're running 3-4 times a week, whatever the goal may be, and making sure that those hours are effective, they're productive, and they keep producing better and better and better results. Because, like I said, a lot of people put the effort in terms of the time and the energy that they put into the gym, but over time they start to realize that actually, if I look at how far I've progressed in terms of my running speed, in terms of my strength levels, in terms of my performance when I'm boxing or doing MMA, in terms of sort of gassing out or whatever it might be, actually there hasn't really been any improvement. So what we want to do is take that work, take that effort, and make sure that it is building on itself. You know, you're not just going into the gym doing the same workout over and over and over again. And this is something that's become even more important these days, because unfortunately when I say we, I refer to the sort of, you know, the average person. We're learning fitness from snippets that we see on Instagram, Facebook, maybe a YouTube video, and it's almost like the exercise becomes the goal. Okay, and I build my workouts from exercises I have seen, which, you know, a lot of the time they're effective exercises. I'm not even knocking that, but actually they don't fit what you need to be doing. You know, for instance, if somebody puts out like a really cool bench press workout, guaranteed to fry your pecs and help you build a good chest, great, for some people that's brilliant. But if you're trying to be a better runner or even a better fighter, it's absolutely irrelevant to what you're doing. So it's a potentially great thing, it's just misdirected and it's not what you need to be doing. So if we can start to target every single thing you're doing week by week, month by month, even year by year, you know, I very much doubt you're an Olympic athlete trying to peak every 4 years. Most people will, let's say, you know, let's have an annual goal or maybe 6 months. So how do we structure those months so that when you get to the competition date, we'll call it, and that might even be even something like a wedding or something. I don't want to make this all about athletes. There's nothing wrong with having a sort of aesthetic goal or a thing like that. But even then, periodization does come into play so that you essentially peak on that day. Okay, but I am going to sort of park the aesthetics for today, as I said. So let's talk about, maybe you've got a white collar boxing fight. Maybe you've got a marathon. Maybe you're going away and you're going to do a fitness competition. You know, obviously CrossFit has brought that into the sort of public arena, and there's more and more of those cropping up. So how do we ensure that we peak for that day? Unfortunately, the way a lot of people approach this is, well, I'll just work as hard as I can for as long as I can, and then I'll be as fit as I can be. And unfortunately, as you're going to see, it just doesn't work out like that. And there's a much better way you can do this. It's almost like a really powerful cheat sheet for any athlete, whether you're sort of novice, intermediate, advanced. And often this kind of stuff, periodizing your both your strength training and your, we'll call it conditioning, and that might be your running, your cycling, whatever. If you're essentially the same level of talent as somebody else, let's take two people who have exactly the same level of talent and they're training for the same amount of time, and like everything else is equal, the one that is using periodization and learning to sort of layer different types of training on top of each other, different volume, different intensity, that person will come out on top. That's effectively what we're saying. If all else is equal, this stuff makes a huge, huge difference. And quite honestly, you won't understand until you do it properly, but you're going to find that you get both better performance, you also have fewer injuries, it enables you to maintain more momentum physically and mentally. It's something that you were constantly varying things to keep you sort of inspired by your training. You're motivated to get in the gym, you're not doing the same thing for months on end, but at the same time there's enough repetition and enough linking of your training that you do just get better and better and better in it. So like I said, that momentum side of things is very important, and also going back to the injuries, the longevity side of things. I think we all know that if we just keep doing the same thing over and over, the same exercises, we get some version of what's often referred to as repetitive strain syndrome. If we do anything too much and too often, then at some point it will become too much for our muscles, our ligaments, our tendons, whatever it might be, even like we said, psychologically. So learning to vary things but not in a completely random way is very, very important for training longevity. So that's something else that is built into this. So like we said, effectively this periodization is, how do we build and layer the necessary elements to for peak performance at the right time. It's almost like if you think about when they built the pyramids, the wider the base, the higher that peak can be at the top. All right, these days we kind of have these fancy things, we can build massively tall skyscrapers, but for the purpose of this analogy, where we're sort of layering and layering, as I said, the wider the base, the higher we can go at the top, and that means your peak will be higher, whether that is your running speed, your punching power, or whatever. So, yeah, what we're trying to do really is get over these common mistakes of, one is trying to be your best all the time. Again, we can't fault the effort, we can't fault the idea behind it. You know, I think trying hard and showing up is possibly the most important thing. But again, you are a human, you're not a robot. You cannot simply keep doing the hardest, the most, you know, the biggest volume, the biggest intensity. You can't keep doing that week after week after week. It just physically does not work. And if it did, bodybuilders would be doing it, you know, athletes would be doing it, football players would be doing it, but there's a reason they have things like pre-season, they have downtimes, they have, you know, mid-season breaks, all these things. There's a reason they do that, and you're no different. Okay, at this point you might not be training as hard as them, but you're also not as resilient as them. You know, they build up that resilience. So the fact of the matter is, humans need to have a rest. Okay, so how do we merge this all together in terms of work and rest times? And we'll dive into that. The other thing, as I've already mentioned, is training the same way all the time. So like we said, how do we vary these things without losing sight of what we're trying to achieve? As we said, if you have a sporting goal, then it makes very little sense to get good at something or get better at something and invest energy and time in that when it's irrelevant to your sport. All it's doing is literally wasting your time, particularly if you only have, say, 2, 3, 4 hours a week to train. You need to make sure that every single minute of that training is directed at getting you better. We need to understand and appreciate recovery as a springboard for further progress. I see a lot of people who are almost like addicted to training, and a week off seems like, well, why am I doing this? Like, oh, I don't feel good, I need to train. You know, there's a lot of psychological issues around that. But the point is that if you don't understand recovery and how it merges into these periods, then again, you're actually going to end up stalling progress rather than accelerating it. So what I mentioned earlier about talking about aesthetics and performance, you know, there is of course the argument that a lot of athletes look great. That's almost it's almost a spin-off of what they're doing in their training rather than a direct objective. But, you know, if you are, I think one of the problems we have these days is exposure to so many things on social media. You see a bodybuilder looking great. You see a powerlifter lifting massive weights. You also see MMA fighters, and you think, well, I want a bit of all of that. And unfortunately for a lot of people, that just doesn't work. You know, that we can take elements of each and they can certainly feed into each other. But again, you need to start understanding that if you have a performance goal in terms of sport, then you might have to park your aesthetic goals of having bigger guns and broad shoulders and all that kind of stuff, because often the type of training required in, say, bodybuilding is very destructive on the muscles. The whole point is you're breaking down the muscles during training, and then you go away, you eat, you sleep, you do all your recovery protocols, and those muscles build back thicker and stronger, which is great and can play a part, as we'll see. However, it can be very damaging to your performance, because anybody who's ever done a decent leg workout, for instance, knows you can be very sore for 2 or 3 days afterwards. Now, obviously, if you're trying to run or cycle or do kickboxing, it's not going to work. All right, so we've got to start understanding that they're two different things. Okay, so those are some of the common mistakes. That's the approach we're taking today. So what I want to just stress before I get into the details of these, of periodization, is that what I'm going to say to you today, it can't be a complete picture for everyone. Okay, I've read huge books on this subject, and quite frankly, we probably still don't even know the complete picture anyway. But I cannot explain every part of this in an hour. What I want to do is give you the setup, the basics, and the understanding of what periodization is and why it is so, so important if you want to do your very best in a performance goal. You know, different sports require different periodization, even different positions within a sport. For instance, if you want to be the best rugby player you can, then the training for a back compared to a forward is different. They're different, generally different body types, they're different requirements within the game, different fitness requirements. So, you know, it's not, we're going to say, right, this is the plan for rugby. Okay, this is the plan for football. If there's different positions, different people, then again, that can affect things. Different environments as well, and by that I mean what you have available for training, even the people that you're surrounded with, you know, what coaches do you have available. All of this stuff is super, super important. We have to consider all of the stresses in your life, not just managing the training stress and the nutrition stress. Again, not going into this too much, but if you look at yourself as a stress bucket and you have, maybe at the moment you're having money problems, maybe you're having family problems, all of these things that can stress you out on a daily basis, again, you as an individual can only tolerate so much. And if you're having a really bad time at the moment, you're not sleeping, and I'm trying to get you training 3-4 hours a day, you know, doing really intense training, then something's going to break eventually. So again, it's not just black and white. Even week by week, we need to make little adjustments based on how things have gone, what progression have we made, how has performance improved or not improved, what's recovery looking like. And again, there's no way to answer that in this podcast, because we need to see it week by week. And this is where having a coach who can look at your data is so, so helpful. And by data, again, it doesn't mean you need a sports science lab. You know, there's loads of things out now. You can do your own resting heart rate in the morning. That's a very good guide of recovery or where your sort of system is at. Things like heart rate variability, we can use that. Again, I'm not going to go into these things today, but the point is there's a lot of data out there that you can easily collect yourself, you know, with your watch or heart rate band or whatever it is. And then we can shape things and we can say, yeah, that's working really well. Look at the improvement there. How do we build on that? So again, we're just taking as much guesswork as we can out of the process. And finally, as I often say when I'm doing these podcasts, is that you have to become a master of kind of personal observation and, you know, how you feel. You know when you have a great workout. You know when you're just not recovering. You know when you're now starting to go in knackered all the time and you can't train and you're forcing yourself. Think you need to become a master of those things and be honest with yourself and go, yeah, you know, I am genuinely knackered. I can't work out properly today. One of my old mentors, Phil Richards, he used to say, if you can't gain, don't train. You know, I personally think maybe that's not quite on the money in terms of you can go and train, maybe do like a light recovery workout. To me, that is still training because it's contributing to the progress. But I understand the sentiment there that, you know, if you can't improve on your strength, if you can't improve your power today, then what is the point of investing even, or, you know, spending even more energy when you're tired to get nowhere? All right, so again, you've got to learn to accept objective feedback for what it is. If you are not progressing, you know, and that applies even if we just drop off to aesthetics for a bit, if you're doing a diet and you're not losing body fat, if you're not gaining muscle, whatever the objective is, then you have to look at that feedback and say something's not working and not bring too much sort of emotion and psychology into it. Okay, so let's get into the key phases of periodization. Again, people will often give these things different names, different terms, but ultimately you'll get the messages to what they are and what they involve. So typically we look at four broad phases. We have the preparatory phase, or we might call it a foundation phase. Typically, I will call this kind of pre-season. I think we've all heard of pre-season. You know, the footballers come back 4-6 weeks before the start of the season and they start training. Maybe they have some friendly games and things like that. That's typically what pre-season involves. But just before that, we can look at this sort of preparatory or foundation phase. So I'll go into the details of each one in a second, but that's effectively our first one, this sort of preparatory phase. Then we have the pre-competitive or building phase. So that's like what I just referred to, almost like a pre-season, maybe low importance games. You know, if my football team plays a friendly against a team two divisions below them, if they don't win that game, it's not the end of the world. They're not losing points from the season. They're not being knocked out of a competition. It gives them a chance to try things out and get ready for the sort of competitive season. even for you as an individual, it might be where you do some trial races. You do a trial 5K, you do a trial 10K, just to kind of see where you're at. And again, that data will then feed into how we shape the training. We then have the competitive phase. And obviously this is something we're going to talk about, because that can be wildly different depending what we're talking about as a goal. It might be, you know, if you're playing football or tennis or some kind of a sport like that, then the competitive phase can be months and months and months. And we have to work to kind of manage that as we go along. Whereas if you're, say, getting ready to do an MMA fight, then that competition is effectively, well, half an hour or less. You know, that everything builds to that one thing. Okay, so we'll talk about different competitive phases. And then after the competition is over, we have that transition phase, which is effectively a sort of rest period. And then hopefully we get going again on the next thing. So let's dive into each one individually. So we spoke about the preparatory or foundation phase. The objectives here are essentially, almost if we go back a stage, let's say we've just had a competition, we've just had a season, then this preparatory or foundation phase may be about injury recovery. Maybe, you know, you've had some niggles towards the end of the season, and we've just got to sort of get over those injuries. We've got to look at restoration of normal range in the joints. Again, if you're playing a particular sport, most sports are imbalanced in some way. You know, I used to play a lot of tennis, so my right shoulder is doing a lot of work. It's doing effectively most of the work in terms of my upper body. So I start to develop maybe extra tension and limited range within that shoulder over time. Obviously, I should be working on my mobility, etc. in the season, but it's just the fact that we're going to get some kind of adaptation to all of the work that my right shoulder's doing. Maybe if you're a kickboxer or a Muay Thai fighter, something like that, then you're typically going to be kicking most of the time with one leg. So one leg is going to be doing a lot of the, you know, you're asking a lot in terms of stability, single leg stability. Again, we can end up with a tightness in one hip. So like I said, we can't go through every sport, but the point of that is, during this preparatory phase, rather than being obsessed with, right, I need to suddenly get stronger and intense training again, I need to restore some balance, I need to restore full range, and like I said, get over any sort of niggles and injuries. So that doesn't mean we're not doing any training at all, obviously, but this is very much about that base. You know, what do I need to do to build a bigger base? If I don't have much mobility, if I don't have range in my joints, then I'm not going to be able to go into maximal strength training and heavy squats and deadlifts, or at least I'm not going to be able to make the most of it. Obviously, there's some conditioning work to be done there, and that's typically where we will do sort of lower intensity work and more of it. Okay, so just before I get to that, often this phase can be split into two. Effectively, you have the sort of early preparatory where we're doing a lot of general work, and then we'll have the sort of late preparatory where it's more specific work, and we start drifting more towards our chosen sport. So during the early phase, some people refer to this as GPP, so general physical preparedness. To put this in a kind of easy phrase, it's almost like doing a bit of everything. Maybe we're doing a bit more sort of playtime. You know, we've had our holiday, we've had maybe a month off, we're coming back into things, we're going to maybe sort of play more games, play a bit of tennis, play a bit of, you know, touch rugby with our friends, even if, you know, that's not our sport. We're doing different things and just getting the body used to doing work again, not specifically focusing on anything too much at this point. Also here, this might be where we look at doing some muscle building or focusing on fat loss. Again, those two things are difficult to do when you're investing a lot of energy in performance. You know, if I'm training 2-4 hours a day for my sport, or even, you know, not even that, even if I'm doing like an hour a day as amateur athletes might do, then I need to be investing a lot of energy into that. So I don't have the time, I don't have the sort of recovery time needed for intense muscle building. So I'm not going to try and do that during the season, during that competitive phase. So if I find that, yeah, for my sport, I need to be a little bit bigger, I need to put on some muscle, I'm a front row, in rugby I'm finding that I'm getting sort of muscled out a little bit, then this would be the time to really go for it, pack on some muscle and almost ignore the performance side of things for now. Similarly, if I'm carrying too much body fat and I know my performance could improve by dropping a little bit, then this is when I'll do it. Obviously, if I'm trying to lose fat, I need to create a calorie deficit one way or another. So naturally, I'm not going to have as much energy to really be sort of going into my intense, my running, my cycling or whatever. So again, it's hard to do both at the same time. You can't be really working on the fat loss side of things and also putting 100% into your training, because if you're in a calorie deficit, just by definition, you have less energy inside you. So this is why in the early preparatory phase, we would potentially look at stuff like that if required. Then we move into the late or specific preparatory phase. So this would be where things start to shape up a little bit more for the needs of my sport. So if aerobic capacity is important to me, I might start doing some aerobic intervals, but again, most of it is going to be sort of lower intensity stuff. Even if I'm doing sort of pad work or I'm doing sprints, I'm not going to be going full tilt, I'm just building my body back into it. You have to remember things like muscles and tendons and all these kind of things, they need to be built up as well. And if I haven't sprinted for a month or two and I suddenly bang, goes 100% as fast as I can, likelihood is I'm going to start getting injuries in my joints or pulling muscles. So intensity is lower, but just moving more towards the specificity of my sport. My weight training is likely to be sub-maximal here. So I'm getting back in the gym now. I'm starting to lift weights, but I'm not going for my sort of 3-rep maxes. I'm not going for maximum output and jumping as high as I can or as far as I can. I'm doing work, but I'm maybe hitting rep ranges of, say, 6 to 12 reps. So I'm, like I said, I'm working, but I'm maybe leaving a few reps in the tank. I'm not pushing myself to the limit there because I'm asking for an injury. So typically in this phase, we're still doing a higher volume, like we're doing more training, more frequency, more sort of sets and reps, and just getting that body, building that base up ready for some harder stuff. So at that point, we go into this pre-competitive or build phase. So the objectives here, this is where we're moving more towards competition. So we're going to start having some of those warm-up races. We're going to start having friendly matches. Maybe we're going to start doing some kind of harder sparring if you're involved in fighting, because we can do these things and we don't need to worry about taking away from competition at this point. And it gives us a chance to test ourselves and go, yeah, you know, I've got good power there. I feel like I've done a lot of good power training, but actually maybe my cardio is not quite there. Maybe I'm running the same thing. I'm actually, do you know what, I'm getting to the end of my 10K race and I feel good. My cardio is good. I'm not gassing much, but I didn't have that power. I didn't have that extra gear. You know, so again, you want to run faster, you got to run faster. So if you don't have that ability because you're lacking strength or power, then, you know, it gives you a chance to just adapt things a little bit still while we're in this pre-competitive building phase. And we're just starting to operate at sort of higher intensities and improving that readiness for competition. Okay, mentally and physically, you start to get back in that, you know, game day mode and things like that. So typically here at the start, we're going to be doing some testing. Obviously those tests need to be relevant. Again, this is where the whole periodization thing comes in. We need relevant tests. We need relevant training. So again, hard to run through every sport and say what's relevant, but you need to consider what is relevant to your position in sport. You need to consider what's relevant for improving your performance and not focusing on the wrong things. It's pointless to go, yay, look at me, I've improved in that area, when it makes absolutely no difference to your performance in the arena, so to speak. So again, this is where sometimes being great in the gym and being great in the arena is two different things. You know, you can be the fittest guy in the gym, you can have amazing cardio, but if you're lacking power, if you're trying to fight MMA and you've got loads and loads of cardio, you could do cardio for days, but you're lacking strength, and once someone's got you on the floor, that's it, game over. It doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. So here we're starting to pay more attention to performance. and the recovery that's needed as well. So whereas in the foundation phase, we were sort of doing higher volume, we're getting you active, we're getting the body working lots again. Now we're starting to go lower volume, we're starting to sort of crank that intensity a bit more. This is where your training will move more towards maximal strength. So by that we mean typically less than 5 reps. That's probably the most basic way of putting it. You're really working the strength side of things, you're working power, you know, the ability to produce force quickly and a lot of it. And we're going to start to do more anaerobic work. All right, so maybe in that foundational phase, doing a bit more aerobic work, you know, building that cardiovascular system, giving yourself the capacity to do training. Now we're going to look at more anaerobic work. So we're working on higher intensities. Best way of putting this is when you're doing that sort of lactic acid based training, you know, you're on the air bike for a minute as hard as you can, you're getting that burn, and you're developing that sort of anaerobic threshold. In other words, the line at which your body starts to effectively lose control. I think we've all been there. You know, the higher that threshold is, the higher you can maintain your performance at a higher output, whether it is cycling, running, or anything else. Okay, so that'll be that pre-competitive phase where we can start bringing in this kind of training and not worry too much about it affecting competition, because we're not there yet. So that's something that has to be considered. You know, you could have the greatest session in the gym, but if you're doing it a day or 2 days before a competitive game and now you can't walk, it's kind of dumb. Okay, so this is why we'll do a lot more of this stuff in this sort of pre-competitive build phase. Okay, so once we've done that, now we start moving into the competitive phase. And obviously something I haven't spoken about is how long each of these should last. Well, again, I just can't really do that in this podcast, because we have to say, well, how long is it till the event? You know, how long have we got? How long is the competitive phase? Is it a season? Is it a one-off? Is it a short season, long season, and so on? So again, I'm not really talking about how long we do each one for, but hopefully you're getting the idea of how this sort of year progresses, or 6 months or whatever we've got. So we find ourselves at the competitive phase, and really the objective here is we want to win. Okay, I think this is something else that people lose sight of. It's, you know, you could say, oh, I've done this in the gym, I've improved here, I've done that. Great, you could have improved 10 things in the gym, but if you're still losing lots, then we failed. Now, obviously, there's going to be other components in terms of skill and talent and who you're up against and all of that. But ultimately, the objective is, are we winning? Are we improving, or at least improving our performance? We can see legitimate improvements in that. We also need to, when it comes to training, think about how do we maintain strength and power. We're not going to be doing so much work in the gym, simply, like I said, because we can't fit in that sort of really hard, heavy training and be competing at the same time. So I'm specifically talking about if you've got multiple games here, like if I'm a footballer and I've got, say, games twice a week, I'm playing Champions League and I'm in on a Tuesday or Wednesday, then I'm playing Premier League on a Saturday, chances are I'm not going to be getting in the gym 3-4 times a week for a hard full body session. It's stupidity. So what we have to look at here is we've done all of that base work, we've made those gains in the pre-competitive build phase. How do we maintain those as much as possible? All right, so we're definitely going to be taking away a lot of the types of training that increase muscle soreness. And like I said, definitely one of the things is minimizing injury. If we're trying to load too much on the body, something's going to break. So we can't be training hard in the gym. We can't be hammering, you know, real intense sprints 2-3 times a week and playing competitive games. Your body cannot handle it, no matter who you are. Okay, so ultimately what we're trying to do here is peak at the right time. So if we've got multiple games, we're going to start thinking about which are the most important and managing things that way. And obviously if we've got like a fight coming up or a race, then we want to peak for that one particular race. So we might have practice races kind of in this phase as well. But again, this is where this and the pre-competitive phase, we need to start sort of prioritizing competitions. So maybe we have like an A, B and a C race. So actually, as I record this now, the Guernsey Marathon's taking place. You know, for a lot of people, that's their ultimate big race. So what I wouldn't have had them doing was sort of a week ago going over to England and smashing another marathon and trying to get a PB, because the odds are they're not going to recover in term time for this week. So maybe there were some other races, maybe, you know, 4 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, that are, again, a bit of a trial, a bit of a confidence boost to see where you're at, ready for some last minute changes. But we have to make sure one way or another we peak at the right time. Okay, so somewhat more straightforward if you've got a one-off event, you know exactly what you're peaking for. So typically, if we're just doing a one-off event, we need to bring in what we call these peak weeks. So maybe 1 to 2 weeks before the event, then we need to start toning down the training. We're not going to be training as hard. It's good to keep some intensity in there, but for short bursts. Okay, a mistake is to go the other way and just not do anything with the hope of, you know, getting as much recovery as possible, and then on the day you start to feel a bit lethargic. So it's good in these last couple of weeks, maybe take away any heavy weight training, but we'll focus on doing some sort of plyometrics, some jumps, some throws, some sprints. So we maintain that ability to fire our body up, but we're taking the volume right down and letting that genuine recovery happen that maybe we haven't had so far. Okay, but obviously what we don't want to do is, like a lot of people say, oh, 2 weeks away, I've got to go even harder. And then on the day, you're just knackered and injuries happen. And this is often, it's almost a known thing that a lot of people get bad injuries and calf muscles and Achilles and knee issues 1 or 2 weeks before the marathon, because that's when their training is sort of on the edge, but they've tried to go a little bit too hard for too long. Now, obviously, psychologically, it's not good either if you're going, oh my God, we've got the marathon in a week and my Achilles is knackered. All right, so we're backing off from risky training. Some people would disagree with me on this, but this is where we're going to back off from any heavy sparring. You know, what is the point? You've done all that training. You don't need to be doing heavy sparring now and getting a cut on your face or getting an injury. You know, so this is where we need to back. Obviously, still doing some sparring and movement and sharpening the tools, as we call them, but not really getting hit in the face or taking big kicks. Some people argue you should never do heavy sparring because we all know what it's like to be hurt. We know what the pain feels like. What is the point of going through that and having a dead leg? You know, but anyway, that's a discussion for another day. So we get, generally, my opinion is get rid of heavy sparring for fights. Get rid of hard lactate work. Again, anything that takes a long time to recover. It's pointless saying, right, we're having a 2 weeks peaking and getting our energy back and recovering and then dragging it down a little bit again with these sessions. So likely gonna have less time in the weights room as well. But as I said, I would still have you focusing on what I call CNS based exercises. So your central nervous system, keeping that speed. Particularly, you know, if you're a boxer, maintaining that punch speed, maintaining those kicks, but dramatically reducing how many of them you are doing. All right, so obviously in the competitive phase, it sounds kind of obvious, but often gets missed. We've got to remember what the goal is and not get sidetracked. And, you know, it's like this phase is really all about peaking for that one competition, that fight, that race, that game, whatever it might be. Nothing else matters. Okay, so I'm not going to start going, oh, I feel a little bit fat, or oh, I want to put on some muscle because for my holiday after the competition. You know, all of that stuff can start pulling away from what you've been training so hard and so long for. Okay, so that gives you an idea of the preparatory phase, the pre-competitive phase, and the competitive phase. So as I said, I can't really tell you how long each one is for, but you know, maybe we would say the preparatory phase is 4 to 8 weeks, maybe even longer, you know, if you've got time. Pre-competitive, then maybe that's going to be, again, 4 to 8 weeks. If we think about sort of professional sports, typically that's about the time they will have off. Obviously, these days it gets more complicated when you throw in World Cups and Euros and, you know, all these kind of things. But ultimately, that's generally the way it works. You know, you have the summer off and come back in. And then the competitive phase, like I said, it can be very different. If you are sort of a professional footballer, then we're talking about pretty much August until end of April, May. If you're a fighter, then generally they will take this as the sort of 12 weeks before the fight. They'll make that the sort of competitive phase, and kind of shape everything. It's almost like the fight camp. So, you know, there's so many ways we can look at this, but you've now got the idea of how to progress this. And just to sort of cut that off, because I did say there was four phases, you also have that transition phase. So you've just competed at the Olympics, you've just done your half marathon, you've just had your white collar boxing fight. This is the time to take some downtime. This sort of transition phase, some people will ignore this often because, you know, if they've done well in that competition, they're on a high, they want to get straight back into it. Again, that's where things can go wrong. You know, if you've done all of the other phases properly and you've really peaked for that competition, it will do your body the world of good to take 2 to 4 weeks as a transition phase. Essentially, the objective here is to chill out a bit. That's probably the non-technical way of putting it. Psychological restoration. It can be very stressful, you know, particularly if you're going into MMA fights and things like that. Psychologically, you're constantly thinking about it. You're stressing yourself out. You've got a lot of things to manage. It's good to just go away and kind of do, I wouldn't say do nothing, but, you know, go swimming, go walking, maybe have a little bit of a jog, but you're just not thinking about performance and times and deadlines and all this kind of stuff. Good time to have rest and any kind of special treatment. Maybe you've had that niggly injury at a sort of more extreme level. Maybe this is the time for an operation. Maybe it's just time to spend a bit more money on therapy, physiotherapy, all that kind of stuff, kind of dealing with these issues. Like I said, psychologically, it can be a good time to just do the things you've missed out on. You know, even if you're a sort of amateur triathlete, often family life has to take a bit of a hit because you're training so often. So again, to make yourself feel better generally and others around you, it's a good time to do those things that you've missed out on, even if it's nutritionally. You know, let your diet go a little bit, you know, eat a bit more pizza, have a few more beers. This is a good time to do it. It's also a good time to start maybe reviewing the competition. I wouldn't say in too much detail, but just general approach. Like I said, this is supposed to be about a bit of downtime and psychological restoration. So thinking too much in detail about numbers and data and what are we going to do next, probably not quite the right time for that. I'd leave that for the start of the sort of next preparatory phase. So typically, like I said, this transition phase will be sort of 2 to 4 weeks. And then hopefully we start all over again. So yeah, that's a brief introduction to how periodization works. And I want to stress again that this is not about pro athletes. You don't have to be of a certain level to use this. It's simply organizing your training. It's detailing your training and making sure you're doing the right stuff at the right time and progressing in the right way, so you can just do better in your chosen goal. You know, why would you not want to do that? It doesn't make any sense to just go, I don't really want that. I'm just going to make it up as I go along, which I hear from some people, and I don't get it, because we're not asking you to do anything more. We're not asking you to be of a certain level. We're simply saying this is the deadline, the competition, the goal that you've said is important to you. We know the date or dates. And now we reverse engineer it, so we build as good a base as possible. We eliminate weaknesses as much as possible. We bring out your strengths as much as possible. And, you know, you do that to school children. You know, when you're learning things, it's like, right, this is where we start from. All right, you're very good at this. This is your strength. We'll try and make the most of those. This is a weakness for this child. How do we bring out that weakness, or kind of eliminate that weakness, or reduce it if it's causing them major issues, so that they can move forward with other stuff? You know, this is just being human. It's learning and it's progression. So yeah, hopefully you now can see how that can be very drastically different to how you're approaching things, just sort of making stuff up, doing things you've seen on the internet, which aren't necessarily wrong. They might just be coming in at the wrong time without the necessary base underneath to get the most out of it. So I'm just going to round this up by saying, within those periods, within those phases, we then can start to look at training phases, which again, people will give different names to, but I typically refer to foundation, what we call a sort of macro cycle. You know, typically a macro cycle would be about 4 weeks. So we have like a foundation macro cycle where we focus on bringing up a bit of everything. So typically that would be in a general preparation phase, bit of strength work, bit of aerobic work, bit of anaerobic work. Again, just building that base, bit of everything, dependent on the sport. Then specific preparation might move into more strength and power training. And depending on the sport, we start looking a bit more power endurance. And now we've built that strength, we've learned how to use that strength to generate power now, and quickly applying that force that we're now able to produce. Now that we have the power, we can work on a bit of power endurance. Okay, so effectively being able to generate the power you need for your sport in ways relevant to your sport over and over and over again. So, you know, for that, if you were a rugby player, we'd say, okay, right, we've really brought up your sprint, your 40-meter sprint has improved during pre-season, but if you can only do it for the first 5 minutes of a game and then you're gassing, you're not much use to anybody, you're not much use to the team. So how do we bring up that power endurance? Okay, and then like I said, maybe during the competitive phase, depending how it works, we might do a bit of everything. We might say, okay, well, let's just maintain the strength and the power. You know, you're getting a lot of sort of power endurance work from your running, so we're not going to do too much of that in the gym. Like I said, I keep repeating myself here, but there's a million ways to do this. But when you have somebody, when you have a coach who's able to put this together for you, you don't really have to do much else. You need to get your ass in the gym, do the right work, do the test, give that feedback to me or whoever you're working with. We can look and say, yeah, right, we're progressing here, we're progressing here. I'm a bit worried about this. So let's alter the training and bring that up. And then that combined with your sort of sport-specific training, whether it is running, cycling, swimming, whatever, all of this starts to feed into itself. And then when you get to that competition day, you're like, oh my God, I've made vastly bigger improvements than I did the last sort of 5 years when I was just sort of faffing and trying hard. Like I said, that's not to judge anybody or mock anybody, far from it. I said at the start, if you're putting in the effort, you're putting in the work and the time, that is fantastic, and that's always the first stage, because ultimately we could have the greatest program in the world, but if you're not putting in the effort, it doesn't matter. But excuse me, but if you are putting in the effort, then why not take the time to get this designed for you and really excel towards the end? So this is something I'm going to be releasing very soon with my bucket list fitness coaching, which is, like I said, specifically designed to get you to every goal you have. You have these fitness goals, whether it's climbing a mountain, doing an ultra marathon, winning a cage fight, cycling across America or Australia like I've done. Again, I'm not here to give you goals, but I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you have things inside you that you really want to do, but you're just like, I don't know how to get fit for it. That is exactly what this stuff is here for. It's effectively where fitness meets adventure. You have these inspiring goals. You just want to make sure that you're doing the very best you can to get there. So keep an eye out for that. I'm going to try and get some other guys on the podcast very soon to talk about how they work with their athletes in these specific areas of sport and training, and they can sort of build on some of the stuff that we've spoken about today. But I hope that gives you more of an idea about how to approach your training better and what should be happening at each stage. As always, if you have any questions, then please get hold of me through social media or john@stormforcefitness.com, and we can talk about how we can sort of get you to those goals, whether you've got 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. I suggest you don't come to me and tell me you've got a marathon in 2 weeks, because there's probably not much we can do. Hopefully now you can see why getting hold of this sooner rather than later is so, so important, and I look forward to hearing about your goals. So, as always, I have a little request. If you like this podcast, please like it, please share it. Helps me as a sort of small fry coach to get out there and get this knowledge to other people who need it. So I'd really appreciate your help with that. Like it, share it, stick it on your Facebook, do all of that. And I'll see you on the next episode.